Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of November 5th, 2019. And this is episode number 414, and this is your host, as always, hopefully, Brian D. Parsons, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live here on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And sorry, I was a little distracted by some of the antics going on in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on some fun. We're talking about, alcohol, among other things. I guess that always happens in chat rooms, but it's a good time. So I do recommend that you head over to the chat room. You could find the chat room, the link to the chat room, through ParanormalKing.com or ParanewsInsider.com. And you're missing out if you're not here. Plus, I'll be sharing some links to some of these stories as well as pictures to give you another dimension. Not that other dimension. Not that dimension. Not the Twilight Zone. But a different look at the news instead of just talking about it. Give you some information as well. So this week is an interesting week. The news isn't overwhelming as far as the stuff out there. But I have some big news about the show. Some stuff coming up and some stuff I dug up. Literally dug up from the archives to spur some stuff, and it couldn't have come on a better day here on Election Day. And that's a hint as to what I'm going to be talking about in a second here. But first, I'm going to give you the little teasers about the news, about what's coming up tonight. Tonight, again, I don't know why this keeps happening. I think it's the last story that I'm going to talk about for the year about this and until the wrap-up of the year. But alligators, again, this time in Wisconsin. We're going to talk about another television show that might just find Bigfoot. And we're going to talk about a really good feel-good story. I like stories like this. A boy dreams to find the Loch Ness Monster, and he succeeds. He succeeds. Tune in for that one. I will also talk about some UFO sighting statistics from MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, as they've released their October sighting statistics. And we'll also talk about a story that's gone on for quite a while and it's starting to get a wrap up. I actually got to check. I forgot to check where we're at dollar wise in this thing. But a haunted painting marks the end of the road over a ghost pirate romance. That sounds like a really good book. Wish I could get that a book like that published. I'd make a lot of money. Definitely lots of money on that. So lots of news coming from exterior sources. I also have some from inside sources, meaning myself, not inside sources like anything else. I do want to check something real quick. Ooh, 1050, that's incredible. Okay, so interesting stuff. Yes, it's getting dicey out there in eBay land. Interesting. Anyway, back to the news. We have, I got some announcements to make, which it's been a long time since I've made any announcements. Yes, some people out there are waiting for me to update my blog, which I'm about 10 months behind on that. Lots of stories that I'd like to do that I want to write about. And I'm also behind. Yes, I'm still behind. But I am doing some planning behind the scenes on the events calendar. Thank you. The events calendar. Took my mind a second to wake up there. I have a small handful. I don't want to just do a little bit at a time. I want to kind of update it. I usually want to do the whole entire thing, but maybe I'll just take it in some baby steps. So I'll get some new events listed for 2020. That sounds so weird to say that. 2020. Gosh, just over 56 days. I think it's 56 days and 3 hours and 5 minutes. Not that I'm counting that down. It's just crazy how fast this year has gone. So I will have the updated listing. I think I only have one or two events left for the end of the year for 2019. And I'll start getting that list of 2020 events put up on the website in the next, hopefully, well, I'll get a few dates up by next week's show for sure. I got a few that I know are going to be happening. I got a few that I wasn't so sure about, so I didn't want to jump the gun on too much and publish things that aren't going to happen or people are getting wishy-washy on stuff. It's just kind of a rough time of the year, but I do want to get that stuff out there so you guys can start making your plans for next year. If you're going to travel, you're going to go to these events, and again, I always recommend that you check these out, not just because I go to these things and speak, but a lot of my friends do, and I like to go just to listen to people. There's some of these I've snuck into and just sat back and listened to. Nobody even knew who I was, and just having fun listening to these people, and it's always a good time, usually a good time. Don't quote me on that. It's always a good time. Some of these events are a little different than others. Not two events are ever the same. But anyway, if you have any information about any paranormal conference or convention happening either this year or next year, help me out. Let me know. Get a hold of me, insider@paranewsinsider.com, or you can contact me through paranewsinsider.com on the contact page and let me know. I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter, also on Instagram. So Facebook, /paranewsinsider, Twitter, @paranewsinsider, and Instagram, .com/paranewsinsider, if you couldn't guess. So there's no reason to say that you couldn't get a hold of me. It might take me a day or two to read your email, but I'll get to it. I promise. And speaking of promises, I have lots of promises. In America, I'm here for you, and I promise that I will make the paranormal a better world in 2020. I will do everything I can next year. I promise you, I will bring you the best paranormal news stories in 2020 to the best of my ability if you vote for me. So America, the world, will you vote for me? That's my platform, the paranormal. I will bring it out. I will tell the truth no matter where that takes us. And that takes me to the paranormal poll. If you've listened to the show for any amount of time, which it's not very many of you left probably, I used to do a segment called the paranormal poll years and years and years and years ago. And it was kind of my way to gauge your feelings, your opinion on certain topics of the paranormal, be it are there experts in the paranormal, are tools always a good idea, investigations, are they necessary, just different topics I've talked about on the show, and through some of these stories that I cover as well. And I just kind of made up polls just to see how people felt about it, just as kind of an unscientific way just to kind of gauge listener reaction. Obviously, if you're listening to a paranormal news show, you probably have a belief in the paranormal. I get that. But some of these topics, they get a little dicey, and people within the paranormal don't agree. Imagine that. People in the paranormal don't all agree with each other. Huh. Amazing. Anyway, so I brought back the paranormal poll to get your input on a series of topics. And I thought, obviously today, being election day, would be a great day to debut this. I've been wanting to do this for a while, but I figured I'd hold on until November to release this. And my first question, since, my gosh, I think it's 2016, so probably about 3 years since I've done this poll, maybe even four, I'm asking you for your opinion on what I'm going to, really what I'm going to debut for the top paranormal news story of 2019. So that's what I want to know. I want to know what you think. What do you feel is the top paranormal news story of 2019? And I've given you, so it's multiple choice. It's not fill in the blanks. I apologize for that, but it's on purpose because this is just one of maybe many of these. I'm gonna roll out a few of them just to kind of get a feel for all these stories. I have like 30 or 40 stories that made the list for 2019 that I have to chop down and figure out what is going to go into just the top 10, let alone what's going to be the number one story. I think a lot of people out there kind of feel like they think they know what the number one story is, but it could change because there's different different things out there. And so I've only added six stories to the poll right now. And like I said, I will be pulling out different polls. Can I say that way? I guess I already did. So I'll be creating different polls on different stories to see what help me figure out what's going to make the cut. And I'm excited to do that. And I've never really had any input on the Paranormal News Insider's top 10 paranormal news stories. It's hard enough for me to sit down and try to figure out what I think is the number one story. But to have help somebody tell me what you think is number one, and then from that I can kind of figure out maybe what's number two and what's number three. And I'll use your input very heavily. And so if people don't like the top 10, then I can blame you guys, the listeners, instead of people yelling at me for it and sending me bad emails. But anyway, that's not the idea behind it. So yes, I do have to figure out when the countdown will actually start. That's the other problem here. The top 10 paranormal news stories of 2019. I mean, one of the biggest problems, one of the main issues, and I've talked about it here before, is that I probably won't do shows the last 2 weeks of the year, which is Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. I don't see me doing shows. I mean, I could. I've done it before. But who's going to listen? I don't know. So traditionally, I've done a 5-episode countdown, and I would reveal 2 stories per week. So I don't want to do this that way, because the first episode would actually be in 2 weeks on November 19th. That just seems like a little bit too early to start the top 10 countdown, especially since sometimes there are stories that may bump into that top 10. So I don't want to risk getting involved with that. So I think what I'm going to do this year, pretty much I've already made my decision, but more than likely start the countdown on December 3rd. And I'll be giving away 3 stories per week for the first 2 weeks, and then counting down the top 4 on December 17th. And that should give me enough time to, if there's any adjustments or over the course of a couple of weeks, to not have to change the countdown too drastically, which I really and truly, honestly, have not had to do over the years. I've been pretty lucky with that. And again, don't forget to vote in the poll, and you might want the link to that. If you want to vote, I really would appreciate if you did. The link is paranewsinsider.com/vote. So paranewsinsider.com/vote. It's actually, there's a link to it. If you go to paranewsinsider.com, right there on the homepage, you can click on the image of the paranormal poll. You can see how old it is. It has my old logo on there. The old logo. But I like that old logo. I'm not getting rid of it. And you can click on that logo and you can vote. There's also a link. So we shall see who's going to win. I know a lot of people think the... I don't want to say it because I don't want people thinking that that's what I'm thinking. But I know a lot of people are thinking the... Well, you know. You know. But it's interesting, as I add stories, because I've added 6 and pretty big stories. I think at least 3 of those 6 will be in the top 3. And one of those may be number 1. I don't know. That's up to you guys. There are a few other stories that when I put them in a poll, you'll be like, whoa, I forgot. I didn't even realize that. I totally forgot about this story. It was this year. So again, don't forget to vote. Paranewsinsider.com. You can find the link to the paranormal poll right there on the front page. So I appreciate you. Unfortunately, I don't have little stickers to hand out that you get to put on your shirt and go into work and brag about that you voted. or take pictures. Maybe I'll do that for next year. You can brag that you voted on the paranormal poll. I mean, you could tell people. Feel free to share it on social media. That would be great. I would really appreciate that. And again, it's kind of nerve-wracking for me. I've never given the listeners very much control over the show. I've always listened to you guys, and people have emailed me stories, and sometimes I've said absolutely not. But I do enjoy doing this show, and I do enjoy doing it for you guys. So when I do get contact, that fuels me to come back here next week and to do another show. So interesting stuff. Anyway, one other thing I'm looking forward to doing this year, don't know when I'm going to squeeze this in, but I got to figure it out pretty quick, is I'll be on Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio sometime in the near future. Put together a really interesting kind of a, almost like a story, but it's put together some researchers' information, not just a bunch of stories on sightings of Bigfoot, or actually Ohio's Grassman, which is our version of Bigfoot here in the Buckeye State, from the researchers' work themselves. So I've done a lot of research in on Grassman sightings here in Ohio, and can't wait to talk about that on Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio. And again, when I have a date for that that I'll be appearing, I will be passing that on to you guys. And you can find more information on that show at BigfootEyewitness.com. And the format to that show is really interesting. He has people who have seen Bigfoot come on the show and talk for the first half of the show about their personal experience, tell their story. Then he spends the second half kind of asking them about their beliefs behind different aspects of Bigfoot. It's really interesting. It's kind of almost like a popcorn munching podcast. It's really enthralling, and it really kind of gets your attention. You don't want to leave. I've listened to quite a few of them, and they're really draws you in. Anyway, speaking of drawing you in, hopefully I've not pushed you away with that long-winded introduction, but we're going to jump into the news, and we're going to talk cryptozoology. And yes, we're going to head up north. I know it's cold up there. It's getting there. But we're going to go up, all the way up to Wisconsin. My buddy Jay Bachochin lives up there, but we're not going to his backyard. We're going to another place up there. So the year of the alligator. So if you've heard me talk about the alligators, we've had a lot of sightings in the Northeast all year long. And cryptozoology, for those who may not know, I'm sure you know because you're listening to the show, so you're educated, you're knowledgeable on all paranormal and anomalous topics. I'm sure you are. Cryptozoology is loosely defined as the search for missing or hidden animals. Sometimes the definition includes animals discovered outside of their known habitats. And one of the reasons that many cryptozoologists don't like that designation of creatures outside of their known habits is because humans are pretty much the cause in nearly every case of those types of sightings. So they kind of sidestep that and don't want to talk about it. But then I'm quick to point out that a lot of people talk about the ABCs. No, not those ABCs, but alien big cats that are seen in the United Kingdom. Now, these are large wild cats that not necessarily wild cats by definition, but exotic pets or exotic creatures that are running around loose, maybe even breeding in the United Kingdom. And they're covered by a lot of cryptozoologists. They talk about them. There's a lot of bloggers that talk about that. So if that's okay, why can't we talk about alligators? I don't get it. So, if real, these ABCs, these alien big cats, if those are real, they're either misplaced cats that have become wild, and they actually have cats in the United Kingdom called wild cats. They're just like domestic cats that are loose, pretty much their own breed of cat, or an escaped or turned loose exotic pet. So sometimes people get tired of these things or whatever. They grow too big. They eat too much food. They bite them in the hand, and they let them loose. This was big in the 1970s before they passed a law on this. back in probably the 60s and early 70s, you could walk through London and see somebody walking down the street with a lion on a leash. That would be cool, but a little nerve-wracking probably. But nowadays, they in the 1970s, mid-1970s, they passed a law against all this. And unfortunately, a lot of these cats were let loose into the wild. And whether or not any are alive right now, very slim. But there are a lot of sightings. So I think that's I think it's fair game for me to talk about alligators. And now that I've got that off my chest, I'm amazed. Again, amazed to bring you yet another alligator finding in the northern part of the United States this week. But unfortunately, just like last week's alligator, well, not last week. I guess it was two weeks ago, wasn't it? The last alligator story that would have been, let's see, October 22nd, yes, where an alligator was discovered dead in Minnesota. This story here also does not have a very happy ending. Police responded to a loose animal call on Halloween night near Sherman Boulevard and Capitol Drive in a residential area in northwest Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Oh, home of the Brewers. Lots of beer up there. Police, like the others who had discovered and seen the alligator, were amazed to see the alligator inside of a large plastic tote. Now, if you weren't aware, cold weather, snow, and a winter weather advisory had actually delayed trick-or-treating in parts of Milwaukee until over the weekend. There was snow. So it's an unknown as of yet if the weather was to blame for the death of the alligator, which, again, sadly was dead in the tote, and it was frozen in the water in the tote. So there was ice in the tote. Little plastic tote. I don't know what you call it. You know, like the Rubbermaid containers. Yeah. Pretty sad that they dumped that thing off like that. But, you know, it's a growing problem. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I do talk about it is because it's a growing problem. We got to do something about this. Somebody's got to do something about this. And it's happening in all these states. And every state, I think, doesn't realize that it's happening in other states. And so I think that we need to talk about it. So I do have a picture here that I'll share in the chat room of this poor cat. Well, not cat, alligator. This poor alligator guy. So there he is. I mean, how would you like to be walking around and you walk into the alleyway where your trash is and you go walking up to your door and there's an alligator in a tote? I don't care, alive or dead, that would scare me to death. I mean, and it happened on Halloween night that these residents saw this, called police. Pretty scary. The alligator was said to be between 4 and 5 feet long. It was disposed of by the Department of Public Works on Friday. Alligators are illegal to own in Wisconsin, and there are fines if you get caught owning one. However, like many other states, if you do turn in the animal because you can't take care of it or for whatever reason, there are no questions asked, and you will have 100% amnesty. Again, no questions asked. What's scarier about this story is the more that I read about it and did some research, is that according to Cindy Stainel of Small Scale Reptile Rescue, she's been called by police and the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission to pick up 8 alligators in the city so far this year. 8 in the Milwaukee area. That is scary. So we've seen Chicago, now Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Pittsburgh with multiple alligators taken, Maryland, Ohio, and West Virginia this year reporting alligator sightings. And all these places are where they should not exist. So I know it's November. I know it's cold. It's icy. But just remember that next year when you go to the pond, you go into the river, you go fishing, waist high in water, fly fishing or, you know, whatever. Kayaking. Keep a lookout for alligators. And yeah, they're probably not going to be too many. But every time I say that, there's another story. I said this about a month ago, that we're probably done with these stories because of the weather. The water is just too cold to support an alligator. They can survive in, actually up into ice, but not for very long because their metabolism slows down. They become lethargic, and they usually wait for warmer weather, and they move again. But they can't. The way the weather is changing, it's getting colder, and it's not coming back. So hopefully we do not hear any more. I would be very happy to not hear any more alligator sighting stories in the Northeast for the remainder of the year. I'd be very happy for that one. And also in cryptid news, well, hold on. Let me get the link. Throw the link in the chat room. We've got Bigfoot. Yes, we haven't had a Bigfoot story in the paranormal news in a while. At least not here. It's not anything good here for quite a while. And now he's back. Well, not him. Hopefully he's back. And there's some people out there looking for him. And they would like to find Bigfoot. Are they going to be finding Bigfoot? I don't know. That was a TV show. Well, speaking of TV shows, we have a new TV show on Bigfoot coming later this year. So the Travel Channel will debut a new Bigfoot series on December 4th. The new 8-part series is called Expedition Bigfoot, and it has some big promises that have been made ahead of its debut. The show features Bryce Johnson, an expedition operations, Dr. Maria Mayer, primatologist, Russell Accord, ex-military survivalist, and Ronnie LeBlanc, a Bigfoot researcher, and Ryan RPG Golombeski, who is a Bigfoot investigator. Matthew Butler, the general manager for the Travel Channel, says about the team and the show, he says, Travel Channel has assembled the best team of experts in Bigfoot lore and science to give us proof of the creature's existence once and for all. The journey is formidable, and the jeopardy is real. Skeptics and believers alike will both agree the trek this team makes is something they have never seen before. Huh. Unquote. So, yeah, okay, something they've never seen before. You mean a Bigfoot on TV? In the press release for the show, they say the show contains, quote, possible nesting sites, footprints and vocalizations that lead to a hotspot where inexplicable events occur and one of the greatest pieces of video evidence in Bigfoot history is recorded, unquote. Not making that up. Not making that up. That's what they said. So they probably already shot this. So we'll see. Not shot the Bigfoot. Maybe. I don't know. Not sure about that part. But they've already filmed all this. So purportedly they've got some really good Bigfoot evidence here. Some video. I don't know if they're, you know, it's going to be, oh my gosh, there's a Squatch in there. And seeing the tree shake. I don't know if that's what they're talking about as far as video evidence being recorded. But we'll find out. We'll see. Again, December 4th. I'll be watching. Now, really and truly, looking at some of the previews for this show. Not really show previews, but just what they're talking about this show. Looking at some of the promo pictures and things they put together. It kind of looks like a reboot of the successful show Finding Bigfoot. Well, I mean, it wasn't successful in actually finding Bigfoot, but it was a successful show called Finding Bigfoot. The show features basically a four-person group. Yeah, there's five people there, but it's kind of like they have a team lead, and you probably have four people trouncing around. It makes a nice group dynamic, you know, with three guys and a woman. She's a former cheerleader for the Miami Dolphins, I believe. So, turned scientist. Interesting story. She's also on the Discovery Channel. I've seen her there before. And it sounds as if it's just stationed in the state of Oregon. I don't know if that's completely true, if it's just there or not. But again, it's an 8-episode season. So Expedition Bigfoot, again, makes its 8-episode debut on December 4th at 10 p.m. But again, as always, check your local listings. And I think that's an interesting show. Hopefully it's not too much like Finding Bigfoot. That would kind of be annoying. But it seems to me that they've kind of copied and pasted that dynamic a little bit. So, you know, we'll see when that show gets a little closer if it's going to be like that or not. But my guess is going to be pretty close. Hopefully, you know, it sounds like they have a little bit more science involved in this, but we'll see if that's really the case or not. They did have, what, the $1 million Bigfoot bounty thing? I don't know. Interesting. But we shall see how good that show is going to be, how successful it's going to be. And it's a neat dynamic of people. I don't know how much I agree with the best team of experts. I think there's a lot of other people that could have been chosen for that show. But you know how many people have the time and effort to be able to go out there and the freedom to go out and shoot however long they've been there. I don't know. We'll see as we get closer. So one last story in cryptid news, and this is a really feel-good story. If we had an award, if I had a feel-good story of the year award, this would probably win it. And this is on the Loch Ness Monster. I know some people are a huge fan of the Loch Ness Monster. Some people are like, oh my gosh, not another Loch Ness Monster story. And yes, the Loch Ness Monster has been seen again. Last Tuesday, and this is real, this really happened. Last Tuesday, a 5-year-old boy spotted the creature while on the Nessie Hunter sightseeing ship. He saw it. And I'm generally skeptical when it comes to most of these sightings of the Loch Ness Monster. And I would say an overwhelming majority of these are misinterpretations and wishful thinking. People are basically seeing wind that's hitting the center of the lock of the lake and making waves that appears like a creature is actually swimming, or they do see something swimming, but it's not what they think it is. It's just misinterpretation. And earlier this year, it was announced that Professor Neil Gemmell, that no DNA from any type of large creature was found in Loch Ness, but we all knew that that was not going to be the end of the sightings. And he said there's nothing in there that exists. There's no prehistoric monsters. There's not even any large sharks in the lock at all. But again, that did not stop these sightings from occurring. And here we go. We have a kid who says he saw one. It's documented. There it is. He saw it. But yeah, this, like I said, this sighting is a feel-good sighting. And it's a story. Stories like this, I'm really happy that the culture surrounding the Loch Ness Monster is alive and well, despite a complete lack of evidence supporting it, and there's a lot going against it. And, you know, again, still people really, really believe in it, but there's not a whole lot to back up that belief. Now, this is a story about a 5-year-old Zachary White. Zachary White has a rare form of leukemia and has spent most of his life in hospitals, enduring chemotherapy, surgeries, and lately, a stem cell transplant. The youngster from the town of Bracknell in Berkshire, England, was asked by the children's charities organization Rays of Sunshine what he would want to do if he could do pretty much anything. I mean, if you ask me that, I've got a long list. But his response was 3 simple requests. He wanted to watch a hockey game in Scotland He wanted to hear bagpipes played live, and he wanted to search for the Loch Ness Monster. That was his dreams. Those were his goals. It's what he wanted to do. And, you know, again, he's from England. And Zachary's parents, they have no idea why he's obsessed with Scotland or the Loch Ness Monster for that that matter. But it actually made very easy planning for the charity organization to put together a trip of a lifetime for little Zachary. The day started off in Glasgow, watching the Glasgow Clan and Manchester Storm. Those two ice hockey teams face off. Zachary was carried to center ice, where he helped lead a clap of the more than 3,000 fans, and everyone was cheering for him. When he arrived at Loch Ness, he was given a Highland welcome, which, if you know what a Highland welcome is, well, he was greeted by bagpipes. So he got his second wish. Prior to boarding the Nessie Hunter tour boat, he was given binoculars, a compass, and other tools to help him on his search for Nessie. He was actually, there's a video of him steering the boat for a little while. He was seen wearing the captain's hat, so I guess he was going where he wanted to go. During the private tour, the boat entered a quiet part of the bay where, sticking out of the water, was the recognizable curved head of the Loch Ness Monster. There it was. Zachary was quick to point it out, showed everybody, confirmed it to the people that were asking. It was told not to yell too loud. I don't want to scare it away. And Zachary was more than thrilled that his dream had come true. And obviously it wasn't the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, that's, come on. That would be cool. If a five-year-old or young leukemia patient like that were able to discover the Loch Ness Monster, I think it would be awesome. All these people that have spent so much time searching for this thing. And this little kid goes out there, boom, he finds it. There's a picture of Zachary out there in the loch looking for the Loch Ness Monster. And, again, a really good feel-good story. And, I find it fascinating that so many people are swept up in the Loch Ness Monster, despite all of these stories that have come out. Years ago, there was a story about the innkeepers in the 1930s that basically concocted the story just to get people to come out there. That came public a few years ago, swept under the rug. Now we have Professor Neil Gemmell's DNA search, pretty much swept under the rug. The focus of that story was these giant eels. But nonetheless, here we have people, children believing in the Loch Ness Monster, wanting to go out and looking for it as one of their dreams, as one of their asks for charitable organizations that give children in his condition a chance to get out and experience the world instead of being cooped up in a hospital. He's only 5 years old, but imagine spending a majority of your life in a hospital, not being able to get out and do anything. So cheers to him, and I hope, I know he enjoyed his time out there in the loch, and I know he enjoyed everything, and it was really heartwarming to watch the video and see the story of him having fun out there in the loch and getting to be in that hockey game and getting to see the bagpipes played in front of him was pretty good, and it really was a really feel-good story. We don't have enough of those in the paranormal. It's usually about hoaxes and people lying and making stuff up. So somebody that can celebrate this with so much enthusiasm, who's gone through so much, I found to be really, 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 really inspiring to me. So there's the link in the chat room for Zachary seeing that Loch Ness Monster. Yeah, so I promised I wouldn't cry. Promised I wouldn't cry. Okay, we're good. It's just raining in here a little bit. Slightly. I don't know what it is. Anyway, UFO news tonight. MUFON. I'm really surprised to get this this quick. Usually it's in the middle of the month or towards the end of the month. It's good to get it out of the way. But the MUFON sighting statistics for October are available. So last month I was lured back into making predictions. Promised I wouldn't do it. But I was put on the spot in the middle of the show and was asked to come up with a prediction. I could have just ignored it in the chat room, but I can't do that. So, yeah, I did. I made a prediction. And you know what was weird is I didn't even think about making a prediction for next month. I better think about that as I do the show. Again, I'm kind of putting myself on the spot now. So last month, I guessed, what I guess? 570. Yes, I did. That's what I wrote down to. 570 total worldwide sightings with 374 in the United States. That was my guess. The actual numbers for the month of October were 540 total sightings. So I was 30 off. Well, with 442 reported in the United States. I was a little off on that. A little rusty. I mean, yeah, I was way over on one, but way under on the other, which is kind of weird. 540 sightings is the second lowest total of the year, with April turning in 483. I kind of figured it was coming. Usually October is pretty strong. November is the weak one. So it really threw me off. 442 U.S. sightings is also the worst since April. And yet it's still only the fifth lowest month of the year. So the numbers are really askew this month. So it wasn't just me. Other than the 442 turned in by the United States, the United Kingdom was second with 34 reports. Canada was next with 24. Australia had 6. Mexico had 4. And India and Argentina had 3 each. And 5 other countries turned in 2 reports. And another 14 turned in only 1 report. You guys got to get out more often. Look up. Look up in the sky. Look around you. So 540 sightings for 2019 now brings the monthly average to 610 sightings total. So that's the average for that. So 540, well below. It's dragged down the average a little bit. In 2018, the average number of sightings was 649. So I don't think we're going to catch that unless we have some outstanding months ahead of us. Although last year I did not receive the November numbers. Never could find out what those November numbers were. 2017 averaged 640. So 640 sightings. In 2016 averaged, 606 sightings. So kind of built up and now we're dropping back down. So I don't know. Interesting. We may not even make the average of 2016 at this rate. It continues at the rate it's going. So 442 U.S. sightings brings the yearly average to 446. So it's pretty close to average, 442, and the average now being 446. 2018 averaged 436. Again, no November number for that year. And it was 456 back in 2017. So we're kind of dropping a little bit. I mean, we may drop more. I don't know for November and December of this year. So back to the 442 U.S. sightings. California was the number one reporting state with 47 sightings. Florida comes in at number two with 40 reports. Texas had 33, Ohio had 25, Washington State had 19, Arizona and Pennsylvania both had 17 sightings each, Colorado and New York had 16, and Michigan turned in 14, New Jersey had 13, Illinois and Tennessee both had 12 reports each, and North Carolina finished with 11. There were 29 other states that turned in 9 or less reports, with 4 only handing in 1. And the one thing I do like to do is, I didn't say do-do, I said do like to do, is do a per capita. Now, again, MUFON used to do a per capita for these states just to kind of see. I mean, it's great that California is number one, but California is also number one in state population. So it's kind of hard to tell really and truly who had the most sightings per capita from those numbers. It kind of doesn't make it easy to see actually how many, you know, sightings per whatever state, unless you break it down by per capita. And I'm kind of cheating. I'm trying to think of what my numbers are going to be here for November. But anyway, California. So we take them as an example. They're number one, again, in state population. And they had number one in sightings for October. 47 sightings, to be exact. So if you take the sightings, you divide them in by the population of the state, and you multiply by 100,000, we get a per capita of 0.118. So that's 0.118, basically 12% of a person reported a UFO in California. So not even one person per 100,000. So a lot less than that. Florida, number three in state population, they turned in 40 reports. They finished with a 0.188. So even obviously less reports, but their per capita was slightly higher. Then we look at Montana. So Montana is 43rd in state population. They also had a 0.188 per capita, but they only had two sightings. It's because they have a lower population. So see how this works? It's kind of squeezing the numbers in a different way to see really what state was kind of a little bit more, I don't want to say important, but had probably a higher rate of sightings per person in that state. Ohio was number seven in state population, and 0.214 is their per capita, and they had 25 sightings. So it's pretty strong for Ohio sightings-wise, but not even a quarter of a person. So not even one per 400,000 people reported a UFO. See, Iowa, 31st in state population, they had seven sightings, and that equates to a 0.222 per capita. Arizona, 14th in state population, 17 sightings. They finished with a 0.237. And we go to Washington State, number 13 in state population. They had 19 sightings. And they finished with a 0.252, so just over one per 400,000, basically. 25% of one person per 100,000, however you want to break that number down, reported a UFO. I mean, yeah, it's not significant at all. Like, it's not really statistically significant. I mean, I would have to compare that to people seeing other things, mountain lions or I don't know what, winning the lottery? Probably be more significant than winning the lottery. Now, Colorado, I think I have to give them the nod of being the winner this month. Colorado, number 21 in state population, they only had 16 sightings, but they finished with a topping 0.281 per capita. Obviously not a record, not the highest we've ever had with the per capita sightings. And sightings in general, pretty much lackluster, I think, over the last year and a half, 2 years. It's really dropped. I don't know. But, I guess I'm being put on the spot here again to think of a number for next month. So, So we had 540 in October. So let me think about that. 540 in October for this year. And let me think. Usually drops in November, I believe. So, usually drops dramatically. And so let me go, let me think about this. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with 525 total sightings and 398 U.S. sightings. That's my prediction for the month of November. Sure, I'm gonna be way off. Doing it on the flyer, and I make sure I'm writing it down, typing it in here so I have it. I'm sure if Dita is here, she will remind me. Or Paul. Paul probably keeps a record of this as well there in the chat room. So, yes, my official prediction for the month of November for sighting statistics from MUFON is 525 and 398. Well, if you chop somebody's... well, never mind. You can get a quarter of a person by removing appendages, I guess. And last but not least, in the paranormal news, we've got a ghost story. No, not that kind of ghost story, but we have... well, a story about ghosts. And this is a story we have been following here on this show for quite a long, long time. Basically, since it broke a couple of years ago. The story's been floating around for at least 3 years. I mean, I remember, I think we talked about this back in when she first met this ghost. I think it was maybe a little after that. So Amanda Large is this person's name. Amanda Large is back in the news this week. And I have to mention that Amanda is actually a fan of the show. She follows the Paranormal News Insider on Twitter and has commented on stories in the past. So pretty cool that she's a fan of the show. Hi, Amanda. Hope you're doing good. Hope you're doing better. But she's been in the paranormal news again for many, many years. And this story is very, very popular over in the United Kingdom. It's a pretty big story. She's been on TV a lot surrounding this story over the last couple of years. And we covered this earlier this year about what happened with her. But if you don't remember the story, I'll kind of talk about it here. She met a ghost back in 2014. I guess we all meet ghosts every now and again. Sometimes we become ghosts to other people. Sometimes we ghost people. Anyway, back in 2014, that was supposedly a lookalike for the fictional Captain Jack Sparrow of the Disney Pirates of the Caribbean movie series. Pretty cool. Interestingly, Amanda also spent time as a Jack Sparrow impersonator. She actually looked pretty good, too. It's kind of scary. I've seen a lot of Jack Sparrow impersonators, especially in the Caribbean, let alone Florida and different places. Anywhere you go with pirates, there's usually some guy dressing up, or I guess in this aspect, a woman dressing up as Jack Sparrow. Now, she met this ghost, and, well, they hit it off. They hit it off. They had a ball. They had a blast. I'm sure they stole some ships. I don't know what they did. But she fell in love. And she eventually married the deceased pirate back in 2016, much to the amazement of pretty much the entire world. This is a big story. She couldn't make it official on land, so she actually went out on a ship out into international waters and got married to Jack Teague, was the official name that she gave him. So... yeah, so the amazement to the entire world and her captive UK audience. Don't forget about those. And Amanda Teague, as she was known back then, claimed that the 300-year-old spirit was actually slowly killing her. And she developed sepsis back in May of 2018. So Amanda did what any woman would do who married the ghost of a 300-year-old pirate that was slowly draining the life out of her. She had an exorcism. An exorcism, I said, not another ism, or asm, I guess. After the exorcism, she ended up burning a lot of the possessions that she had that were related to Jack Teague, not Jack Sparrow. But she couldn't get rid of a large picture of Jack Sparrow, which was painted by a fan of the movies that reminded her of what Jack actually looked like. I guess there was no picture or painting of Jack Teague, but apparently he looked just like Johnny Depp and just like Jack Sparrow, I guess. Probably an uncanny resemblance there. But now she's decided to part with it. So if you're interested, You can buy her painting on eBay. This is big. She claims that the painting holds some of Jack's energy, and the painting makes sounds of taps and bangs. But I don't think she's got them on any kind of recording. She also claims that a paranormal team recorded EMF off of the painting, and they stated that it was definitely a haunted painting. So it's certified haunted, I guess, if that's possible. I don't think it is, but I don't know. So Amanda is currently selling this painting. She's offering it on eBay in the United Kingdom. So let's see. So far, well, last night, I guess the story is gaining traction. So last night, the painting had 5 bids and stood at 5.5 pounds sterling. So that sounds like a lot. 5.5 pounds. Holy smokes. But in reality, that's only $7.09. Now today, see, I just checked it. It's at 10 pounds, 10.5 pounds sterling. So now it's up to $13.52. Yikes. Again, not that much. And see how many people voted. How many people bid on this thing? See, I said what? 5? Oh, so there's 7 bids. That's 10.5 pounds sterling. So, wow. Not very much money. And I wanted to bid on this, but I couldn't. So it was... She's not offering it to the United States, so I can't get it. It's kind of annoying. I would bid on this, seriously bid on this. I don't know how high I would go, but I don't know if I can meet the reserve. I don't know what the reserve is, but that reserve has not been made. I'm sure it's a lot. I'm sure it's a lot. I don't know how much it is, but it's still at 10 pounds. Still not met. 7 bids. So if you're in the United Kingdom and you want to bid on this, go for it. You know, if you're willing to sell it, let me know. Maybe we can work out a deal here. Maybe I'll send you a hat, Paranormal News Insider. I don't know. I always wanted to own a haunted painting. And so many of these are just, they're just complete scams. But, you know, I've been following the story for a while, so I think it's pretty cool. It's kind of weird that she's just giving it away. She burned all the other stuff that she had, but this painting, she's selling. Interesting. And, you know, this is a kind of a wacky, weird story. She's talking about being married to a pirate, and she's not the only one out there claiming to be with ghosts. We had another story where a woman is trying to have a ghost baby. And to me, that's completely out there. Now, as far as Amanda is concerned, you know, I don't think she's crazy. I think she really believes all this stuff has happened and is happening to her. And I don't doubt her. I don't doubt her that she thinks that this is happening. I think she's gotten a lot of advice from people around her, and that's kind of led her down the wrong path. And a lot of the pictures of her getting married, there was people around her kind of telling her things. And I think she's got a few psychics that are kind of leading her in the wrong direction. So I don't blame her completely, but she's caught up in this thing, and hopefully, she was also a psychic for a while too. So hopefully this is like her kind of a wake-up call. She's getting rid of all this stuff and moving away from this ghost, and hopefully she gets her stuff back together and moves on from this. But interesting story nonetheless to see a story like this lasts for 5 years in the paranormal news. Very, very interesting. And before I head out, I want to remind you that, the paranormal poll is back. And I need your help. I need to figure out what are going to be some of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2019. You can help me out with that if you want to vote on that. Did you vote today? Did you vote today? If you didn't vote today, you have your chance now. You can make up for it. So when somebody asks you tomorrow, hey, man, did you vote yesterday? You can say, yes, I did. I voted. I don't have a sticker to shove in your face, but I voted. You can say that. If you go to paranewsinsider.com, click on the Paranormal Poll logo, click on the link, or go directly to paranewsinsider.com/vote and vote on what do you feel is the top paranormal news story of 2019. So, America, I promise to give you the best Paranormal News Insider top stories of 2019 countdown I can possibly give you, with your help, of course. So with that being said, my platform announced I'm running, officially running for the door. I'll see you next week, but for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, you know how the song goes, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.